Let's just pray before we dive into God's word this morning. But God, we thank you, Father, for all that you do. And we thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice for us. And we thank you for your spirit that works in and through us so we can better serve you. And God, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you are faithful. We thank you that you are just. Father, I ask that you be with those in our church family that are struggling. Show them that you have not abandoned them. Show them your faithfulness yet again. God, we also just ask that you be with those in Las Vegas as that city recovers from a horrific, horrific act of violence. And through times like this, we just ask that you would continue to give us hearts of peace and of joy and of compassion. God, just keep us humble. We just continue to give thanks for you, God, because you allow us to see your fruit in times of tragedy. And we thank you for your love and your grace toward us, and may we extend that same love and grace to the world. And we just pray and ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Well, again, good morning. I mean, it is Thanksgiving weekend, which I have to be honest, as an American, is weird. Okay, it's like the fact that it's the first or second week in October, whatever it is, it's this one might be a holiday that it takes me a little bit to get used to. One, because it's way before Halloween, and it's like way before Christmas, because it's now throwing all traditions off that I've ever had, like the 26 years I've been on this earth. Like, all traditions are now out the window when it comes to Thanksgiving, Halloween, and Christmas. They're all gone, so thank you very much for that, Canada. And it's just, it's weird, like, and it's one of those things where, because for so many years, I always woke up the fourth Thursday of November, as you know, as an American kid, I always woke up, and I was like, ah, oh, it's football day, right? Because that's what it is. In the States, Thanksgiving is so much more about football than it is even about, like, turkey and being together as a family. As sad as that is the reality of the States as it stands. And so I just remember, man, so many good times that we'd have turkey bowls, we'd have backyard football games, like full contact, showing up to school on Monday morning with broken limbs all the time. It was amazing to grow up and be celebrating Thanksgiving, which was really, let's be honest, it was just massive football day. And then when you were done, exhausted, like, you know, playing outside all day long, you know, getting dirty, and you'd go shower, and you can smell the turkey and stuffings, you know, in the room, and then you would just sit down and watch so much football. Like, more football than you could ever handle in a single sitting, but it was there. Like, every channel you flipped to, there were just man on man just smashing into each other. It was amazing. It's amazing. But I have to admit, it was always it was kind of bittersweet because, I love football. But it's always bittersweet because, at least for my dad, my brother and I, because we're Chicago Bears fans. And if you know anything, yeah, I heard a chuckle here and there, yeah. All right, here we go. But here's the thing about the Chicago Bears. If you know anything about the NFL, the Chicago Bears are awful. They're so bad, you guys. And it's painful to watch. Like, every game, there's a little bit of hope. You're like, yes, they're going to do it. Nope, they're going to lose by 40 points. Like, it's so horrible to watch. But the Seahawks, on the other hand, now, they're a different story. How many Seahawks fans do we have in the room? Come on, nobody? All right, so there's like four of you with me. All right, so If you know anything about the Seahawks or the NFL, the Seahawks have been bad for so long because the Bears had, like, their glimmers of hope in, like, the 80s. Like, they were good in the 80s, and that's about it. The Seahawks are now, like, for the last, like, 4 or 5 years, they're finally getting good, and they're fun to watch, right? And so I grew up in Vancouver, Washington, which is, like, 3 hours south of Seattle, and my parents are now living in Tacoma. My dad's a senior pastor, like, in Fir Crest, Washington, which is right by Tacoma, which is about 45 minutes away from Seahawk country. So I've had the privilege to go to many Seahawk games and go and experience the 12th man, you know, and it's so loud in CenturyLink Field, it's amazing. But here's the thing about some Seahawk fans. They're not real fans. It's kind of the issue I have with some Seahawk fans. Like, 60% of all Seahawk fans have only been Seahawk fans for the last, like, 4 or 5 years, ever since they got somewhat good. Because, I mean, why not, though, right? They're fun to watch. I mean, our boy Russell Wilson, he loves Jesus. So that's one way if you don't watch football for any other reason, just watch Seahawks for Russell Wilson and just cheer on a brother in Christ, right? That's what you got to do. But it kind of, I don't want to broad stroke it and say all Seahawks fans this way, but I do feel like a lot of Seahawks fans out there are fair-weather Seahawks fans. And again, that's fine. If you want to bandwagon and abandon your team and go root for the Seahawks, that's fine. That's your prerogative. And while I have a little bit of an issue with fair weather sports fans, I have a much bigger issue with fair weather Christians. I have a much bigger issue with my brothers and sisters who love Jesus to their heart's content when things are going really, really well, and they couldn't care less about him when things are not going the way they want to go. Because how many Canuck fans do we have in the room? Okay, I need to see a hand. See, this is really important, all right? Don't be proud, it's okay, because you guys are the true Christians, all right? Because while there may be fair weather Seahawks fans, the Canucks have been awful for so long, and you guys continue to hold on to hope. And so that's just, God bless you. That's amazing. But that's indicative of a Christian walk, too. So I'm helping you Canuck fans out this morning, right? That's indicative of a Christian walk because we have something to hope for as Christians, don't we? We have a hope. We still have a hope to hold on to even when it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And there's always been three kind of main reasons why I just continually to give thanks to God. Because I think around Thanksgiving time, we kind of breathe a little bit and we begin to look back on the year at times, or maybe it's Christmas for some of you, but we look back and we begin to give thanks for things. We begin to look at, wow, like I really am truly blessed. And usually it's around Thanksgiving time. And so this morning I want to just talk briefly about just giving thanks and what that looks like, to give thanks in everything. Because there's always been three reasons, at least again for me, at least three reasons why I give thanks to God. Number one is his grace. The grace that I have through Christ. Right? Paul tells us there's not one righteous person among us, not one. Those are Paul's encouraging words to us in Romans 3. But thankfully, he doesn't stop there. A little bit later in verse 23, he says this, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and yet are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Right? This grace is how we came to know God in the first place. Without his grace, we are still lost. We have no business approaching the throne and demanding the promises that he wants to give us without that grace being poured out to us by Jesus on the cross. And grace is honestly the thing that keeps me going day in and day out. I need it every single day. I do. I need it every single day. And I'm so thankful for God's grace toward me. Because this means I can journey with him. I can figure out this life with him showing me the way. I can do this. There is a hope because of his grace. And that's even when I continually fall short and continually mess it up. It's his grace, and I know that he loves me, and that's the second reason. That's the second reason I continue to give thanks, is because of how much God loves me. In Romans 5, 8, it says this, "But God shows his love for us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were still enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Right? We give thanks because he has shown us love like no other. This is the kind of love that we can count on. This is the kind of love that is faithful, the kind of love that doesn't leave when things get rough, when things go bad, when things go sideways. This love remains the same. God is not a fair weather fan of us, so we shouldn't be a fair weather fan of him. Because he gives us, number three, is he gives us peace. We go to just Romans 5, just back up a few verses. In verse 1, it says this, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love is poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit he has given to us." Right? God gives us this peace that goes beyond all understanding. The peace that God offers us is that when our lives just absolutely get out of control, we can find sanctuary in His arms. When life absolutely just hits the fan, it can be okay. There's still a peace that God gives us that we can rest in Him. And there's peace between us and God because the wrath has been satisfied. There's no longer this tension between us and God, or at least there shouldn't be. If there is, it's on our end. It's not on His end. There's no tension on God's end. We can come to Him freely. And this is the kind of peace that God gives us, the one that allows us to rejoice in our suffering, the one that allows us to rejoice in our time of need because we have that security in Jesus. We have that rock of peace that we can come to whenever we need it. Now, there are so many reasons why we can give thanks. I mean, we could be here all day long, and I would, don't get me wrong. We could just start in Genesis 1:1 and just go, isn't God amazing? Right? And just go. So I just wanted to give you three quick things because I look around and I don't see a reason or a lack of reasons to give thanks. That's not what I see. I don't look at Scripture and go, wow, it's really tough to find reasons to give thanks back to God. No. There are an overwhelming number of reasons to give thanks to God. But what I see continually is that there's usually just a lack of giving thanks, if I'm being honest. There's a lot of times, and I have to admit, I'm right there in that same boat, where there's times in my life when things start to not go the way I want it to go, and then the giving thanks part really takes a back seat. And yet God wants us to be giving thanks always, and shouldn't we? Shouldn't we be giving thanks always? Right, because it's important to note, especially on Thanksgiving weekend, Thanksgiving Day, to note that Thanksgiving is not just a day. It has to become a lifestyle. It has to be something that day in and day out, we make the choice to give thanks no matter what. Because there are plenty of reasons to be giving thanks. It needs to become a lifestyle. So this morning, I want to give you four powerful ways to give thanks back to God. I want to keep it really simple this morning. I'm not going to be, you know, going super big or, you know, thinking crazy outside the box. These are things that Scripture already gives us, and they're just good reminders for us because, you know what? I think when we look around the world, and we say this all the time, I think when we look around the world, it can become very easy for us to get discouraged, very easy for us to become, depressed and very kind of self-centered with just looking at the world and going, man, this world is broken, it is hurting, and it hurts us. But we have to continually remind ourselves that our Western culture has made it about us, right? Like we are the focus all the time. And through no fault almost of our own, it's the culture in which we live that is so focused on the number one. We always look out for number one. And so really, it shouldn't surprise us when things go sideways. Because God's promised us that when we think of ourselves over others, things will go sideways. Because that's not how He designed us. That's not how His design in the beginning was meant to be played out. It's not meant to be looking after number one. So I want to give you four ways this morning to look out and give thanks back to God. Number one is we can give thanks through service. In Hebrews 12, it says this, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, some translations there will actually take that Greek word of worship and translate it into service. Right? Because when we serve God, we're worshiping Him. And when we serve God and His people, we're acting out of thanks. We're serving out of thanks for what He has done. If you're not thankful for something, then why would you do it? Does that make sense? Like what draws you into action? What draws, even going to your job? Let me just challenge this here. You are thankful that your boss gives you a paycheck, so you do your job. You know what I mean? Like you do things out of thankfulness. And when we serve those that we come across in a daily walk, our daily lives, we are sharing the kingdom with them. And God's kingdom is one that serves. God is never going to, you know, when I die, let's just go there. I'm going to die, not any of you. I'm going to die. So when I die and I go meet Jesus in heaven, I have security in that. He's not going to, you know, when I'm standing in front of him giving an account of my life, he's not going to look at me and go, you know, all that serving you did, yeah, was a bit much. All right, just, you could have toned it down just a little bit. All right, it was a bit abrasive, all right? No, he's not going to say that. He's never going to put us down for serving too much. In fact, it's going to probably be the opposite. Like, oh, you know, like we could have stoked the fire a little bit more, right? Like, no, he's not going to come down us for serving too much, because as we walk with Jesus, his heart becomes our heart. And therefore, our heart breaks for those that are hurting. Our heart breaks and has compassion for those around us that are broken and hurting, and so we love on them. Serving God and his church in this way is a way of giving thanks back to God. It shows investment in him. Not just investment in the church. That's great to show investment in your local church. But it's showing investment in him when we serve him. And we cannot be people that say this. Because I had a really unfortunate conversation with somebody this week, so this is kind of where this is coming out of. So we cannot be people like this that say, man, I love Jesus, but I hate his church. I don't know how many of you are maybe in that spot this morning. There's no judgment. I'm just saying we can't say that. We can't go there. Man, I love Jesus, but I hate his church. You know why we can't say that? You know why we can't separate Jesus from the church? We can't do that because biblically, the church is called the bride of Christ. So let me make it really real for maybe some of us in this room this morning. If you come up to me and you say, man, Kenan, whoo, we love you, man. You are fantastic. It's okay. I'm humble enough to accept all the praise that I, you know, like, that's cool. I mean, just shower. That's all. Oh, it's cool. Right? You're like, oh, Kenan, you're amazing. Like, oh, my goodness. Like, just like, your fingernails even. It's amazing how you just get in the crap. I mean, any compliment I'll take. That's fine. But if you come to me and say, man, we love you, Kenan. Ooh, but I hate your wife. I don't care who you are. We're going to have an exchange, right? Like, I mean, just even saying it out loud, I know it's a joke. I'm getting riled up just thinking about, like, you don't say that, right? Like, you don't say that to somebody, man, I love you, but man, I hate your wife. Oh, it's about to go down, right? Like, you don't do that. And yet we are so comfortable doing that with Jesus and his church. So we cannot separate those two. We can't say, I'm going to serve Jesus, but I am just going to, any chance I get to just nub the church, I'm going to do it. Oh, any chance I get to get in there and just blow something. No, we can't do that. They're one and the same. We have to realize that. Our reflection of how we feel about Jesus needs to be the reflection that we show to his church. And vice versa. We can't love the church so much. We can't love maybe the institution of church and the comfortability with the traditions and everything else. We can't be so consumed with that we miss out and we leave out Jesus. Does that make sense? They're one in the same. And we serve because we're thankful for what Christ has done. And because we are invested in his kingdom. And like it or not, his church, this church, Big C Church, Worldwide Church, is his plan A to reach the world. Like it or not, it's his plan A to reach the world. We are his hands and his feet, and there is no plan B. There's not. There's no plan B. We are his church, it to reach the world. Now, the second thing is very closely related to giving thanks through serving, but giving thanks through giving. And again, I paired these because they are closely related. Serving and giving. Let me read 2 Corinthians 9 for you. It says this. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, that you may abound in every good work. As it is written, He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest for your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. Do you catch it? Does anything else really need to be said? Giving is an act of thanksgiving to God. Right? Giving is an act of thanksgiving to God. It says it right there in Scripture. That is a brilliant way for us to give thanks to God, is to be generous, to give, to see people who are hurting and are in need, and to give. To give. And this, you know, again, we've become so comfortable in our Western culture at receiving. Because it is. It's about number one. We've gotten really comfortable about, oh, I want. Just, yeah, bring it on. All day long. And it's hilarious because we make excuses for, like, birthdays and Christmas and everything else. We're like, I want more. Like, we set separate days aside to be like, sweet, it's about me. Let's really make it about me. And giving is scary. I'm with you. Because it means that I won't have anymore, right? I won't have whatever I'm giving. I won't have that anymore. But do you catch what God tells us? That he distributes freely. He wants to multiply what you give. I have never met a generous person. I have never met a person who is truly generous that just says, oh man, it is so hard to keep giving. I just have nothing anymore. No, actually. In fact, it's quite the opposite. When I meet somebody who's a truly, like, a generous giver, just their personality, they're just a giver. They're a generous person. We've all met that person. What are they? They are abundant in joy. And it's kind of annoying because they're giving everything away and they're like, woo, life is great. You're like, no, because you don't have stuff. How can you be happy? You don't have any stuff. And they're like, yeah, I do. I have what I need, but I give so freely. You know, and maybe this is an area that's been challenging for you in the past. Maybe this is one area that we've never really given to God. And you know what? Honestly, I'm with you. I like my stuff. Ask my wife. I like my stuff. My wife is a way better person than me. She's like, get rid of it all. I don't care. And I'm like, no. Like, I love my stuff. I do. I do love it. But I also know that when I am a generous giver to others, it makes life way more simple and way more rewarding. And we have to figure out how to love people and use stuff, and not to flip the two, right? Love people and use stuff, not love stuff and use people. Now, number three, giving thanks through song. Now, this one's one of my personal favorites. I mean, getting ahead of myself. Because whether you want it to be or not, it's my favorite thing. That's what I want to say. Regardless if you're the one walking in the aisle next to me when I'm shopping and I'm just like, woohoo, like just like singing a song of my own doing, that's fine. You're welcome, right? Like, I mean, across the aisleway, you are welcome. And I love music. I really do. And now I didn't really start playing music or really getting into music until I was later in life because I was so involved with sports and everything else. But I honestly believe it's a gift. It's a place where we can express our creativity. We can express emotion. Right now, and I'm so thankful that there's so many people that God has gifted with that, that makes music that I get to enjoy. It's awesome. Right? And our lives need to be like a song. And it needs to be a song that gets stuck in your heads. You know those songs, like those earworm songs that you hear, and then it just will not go away, right? Like, you hear them on a movie or on the radio or whatever it is, and you're just like, oh, no, that's in there forever, right? If you like pina coladas, like, now you're welcome. That's going to be stuck in your head all day. Don't stop believing. Another one. Now, for me, though, it was always that Hey Jude part, but it was only the end. Right, where it's just the na 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 na, and it's just na 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 na, Hey Jude, and you just kind of do this with it, right? Like, I'm driving. just having a time, right? Because that's what you do when there's a song stuck in your head that you just can't get out. That's a good song, mind you, because there are some not so great songs that get stuck in my head because they're way too catchy, like Call Me Maybe. Not okay that I am a grown man, and it's like Call Me Maybe stuck in my head. I'm like, no. Or I'll hear like an old like NSYNC or Backstreet Boys song, and I'm just like, oh no, and it's in there. But man, you get that, like, you get that groove going, and what happens? What happens, right? You begin to move a little bit. You dance a little bit. And that's, so Psalm 30 says this, and here's a reason why, biblically, I think we move a little bit with music. Because you have turned my mourning into dancing. So David's reminding us, you have turned my mourning into dancing. You have loosened my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. Oh, Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. There's something about singing a song of thanks that just, there's just so much emotion to it, right? Our lives should not be a silent song. Our lives should not be silent in song. There's a song of thankfulness in each one of our hearts. How many of you are still in your head singing the Pina Colada song, right? It's still there, right? You're so welcome. That's my gift to you this morning. Right, our life needs to reflect this song. And you see the people with the song stuck in their heads, right? What do? They bob. They just bob. They don't walk down the grocery store. They bob everywhere they go. Right, friends, we need to bob a little bit more. Right, we're children of Christ Jesus. We need to bob a little bit more. We have been set free from our chains. We need to bob a little bit more. Right, we've been given life of meaning and hope. We got to bob a little bit more, right? We got to walk our lives with this song of thankfulness in our heart that just, you just can't stop it. It won't get out of your head. And it can be a song that somebody's written, but if it's your own song, keep it to yourself. That's fine. You just sing that in your heart. No, if it's somebody else's written, belt that out all day long. Because when we sing him songs of thanks from the heart, that's when we really start doing it. That's when we really start giving that thanks back to him with all emotion. I mean, everything else, through service, through giving, through song, it is, you just bob a little bit more. And then Sunday mornings will be a loud morning of thanksgiving. Last one, number four. And this one's tricky. It's giving thanks in everything. Giving thanks in everything that we do. 1 Thessalonians 5 says this. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You catch that? Do I need to read that again so we're all on the same page? Because we're rejoicing when? Always. We're praying when? Always. We're giving thanks in what? Everything, all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's the will. It's what he wants for you. He wants this life of utter thanksgiving. And again, this is the hardest one, but it's the most important. We're called to give thanks in everything. Not just when things are good, right? We're not to be fair weather fans. We're not to be Seahawk fans of Jesus, right? We're not called to be that. We're called to give thanks even when the rug is pulled out from underneath us. Even when life doesn't make any sense at all, we are called to give thanks. And do you see how then Thanksgiving can't just be a day? It has to become a lifestyle. It has to be something that we do on a consistent basis. It's not just when we are sitting around eating food together, as great as that is, don't get me wrong, I love food. But it cannot be the only time that we sit around and we give thanks. It needs to be a lifestyle, a choice we make every single day. And everything we do, thank him in the morning, thank him in the evening. Right? Thank him when there seems to be nothing to be thankful about. There is always something to be thankful for. Right? There's always something to be thankful for. It's just sometimes it's harder when the darkness seems to be closing in. We talked about this a couple, I guess it was like two sermons that I did ago. Right? Everybody just take a deep breath. If you have nothing else to give thankfulness for, you have nothing else to praise God for, praise God that you still have breath in your lungs. That is worthy of giving thanks back to God. The fact that we just even have air in our lungs, because he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to give us air in our lungs. He doesn't. But he continually does breath by breath by breath by breath. I've told you this before, I haven't always been an optimist. I haven't always looked at life through these rose-colored glasses. It's taken time. It's taken like intense training to say, no, I need to find something good in this. Like when someone smashes a bottle in our parking lot last night or whenever it was, and you go, they're probably making it so people can't get into church this morning and popping tires. I look at that and go, that just means the devil doesn't want us congregating this morning because there's somebody that needs to hear about Thanksgiving, right? You can always spend something for the good. You can, in everything you do. And I have to be honest, living life like this, it actually can relieve a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress because it's extremely freeing to find the good in everything. Because it's really easy to find the bad. It's really easy to find the bad. You don't even have to think for yourself. You can just ask somebody or turn on the television. Like, it doesn't take much. Read the news. Open Facebook. Whatever it is, you're like, yep, I'm depressed. Like, thanks. You know what I mean? It doesn't take much. But it does take work to find thanks in everything. But it's worth it because that's what God wants from us. That if we can express thanks, and we can express thanks in so many ways. This morning I only gave you four. I gave you four really simple ways to start. But there are tons of ways for you to give thanks. The four were again to serve, give, sing, and to live life every single day as a lifestyle of gratitude for what God has done in and through you. My prayer is this, that we would make today and tomorrow, as we celebrate, as we eat, till we're about ready to throw up, that we would make today and tomorrow a starting point of a new way of living. That we would live a lifestyle of gratitude of Jesus, our King. Let me pray for you. God, we do. We thank you so much for how good you are to us. We thank you that we have so many reasons to give thanks. We thank you that you are good. Again, we thank you that you have come down to sacrifice your own self for us. And for that, God, we should be forever thankful. For that alone, we should be forever thankful. So Jesus, I just pray you would continue to move in us. Spirit, continue to give us your heart. Continue to show us the way. And Father, I do. I pray that you would continually and faithfully show us, you have not abandoned us, that there are reasons to be